a customer services representative.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the DS Smith Trading Update conference call. My name is Maddie, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I will now hand you over to Mr. Miles Roberts to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Oh, good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for joining us. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO, and I'm joined here by Adrian Marsh, our Finance Director. We'll have an opportunity for questions at the end of this statement, but I would like to first just raise some highlights on the trading update that you would all have read this morning. And in that statement, you would have seen that group performance remains fully in line with our expectations. We have seen good growth across all of our regions, together with improving return on sales and return on capital. The market and the business trends we discussed at length at our interim management statement in September have also continued. And we're pleased to announce the acquisition of Andopac, a Spanish corrugated board producer, costing us around about £35 million. Andopac is very well invested. It's a growing business with very good access to the key markets in Barcelona and Madrid. But this acquisition is customer-led. Our customers want us to have a strong presence in Spain so we can provide them our unique services and offering that we provide in the rest of Europe. As I said, it's a very high-quality asset, and it's an asset from which I think we can grow further as we expand into this attractive market. So looking ahead, our outlook remains positive as the business continues to grow, and we expect continued performance in line with the group's medium-term targets. Thank you. I'm now happy to take any questions people may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypads. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. So our first question comes from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Please go ahead with your question, sir.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Three questions, if I could. The first is just on corrugated prices. We've seen the €30 a ton, roughly, of containerboard prices going through. One of your competitors yesterday said that they didn't think that they would be able to recover that in corrugated prices. Just wondering your own thoughts in terms of the prospects of recovering that 30 in corrugated prices as we head into 2015. Secondly, on OCC prices, just maybe your thoughts on that, what you're seeing in that market, if that stability is remaining. And then just a quick question on Andopac, in terms of what kind of corrugated capacity in tonnage does that business produce annually? Thank you.
Yeah. We're absolutely right, Barry. We have seen an increase in testliner prices of about €30 a ton. We haven't seen anything in kraft. We don't expect to either. So, you know, when we look at our raw materials, there has been an increase. We have contracts and we have agreements that allow costs to be generally passed on. But we'll be doing everything possible to mitigate that. And as long as our customers see we're doing everything to mitigate any residual, we think we will recover. But there's an awful lot that we can do to mitigate that that increase, and we'll be doing that. In OCC prices, they have been stable. They've been stable now for probably about 20 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They don't seem to be moving at all. who knows what's going to happen in the future, but I can't really see any particular reason why that would change, go up or down. Our collection rates are good. We are confident for new sources and they're coming on. Demand for test line is reasonably healthy. But that improved collection and the way OCC is used means prices remain stable. But with Andopac, it was constructed about 7 years ago, so it's pretty much a new facility, and they've been investing very heavily since then. So today the factory is it's less than 50% utilisation. We already supply Spain from facilities we have elsewhere in Europe. Due to the our customer demand, and we can see very good opportunities not only to improve the cost base of this factory, but to start to use the considerable capacity that it has. So if you think about its current turnover, it's about 70 million represents about 70 million square meters. And we think that just its existing capacity can more than double that. But as I say, it's our first move into this market. It's customer-led, and I look forward to further expansion there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Catriona O'Grady from UBS. Please go ahead with your question.
Morning, Miles. Morning, Adrian. Thanks for taking my call. I've just got three questions, if I may. Just in terms of the general performance of the business, are there any country standout performance as you look across Europe? Secondly, am I right to assume there isn't a significant overlap in customers between your customers and the Andopac customers? And then thirdly, can I just ask about the rest of the M&A pipeline? Are there still other opportunities in there that you're in discussions with? Thanks.
Countries. I say all our regions are in growth, but some are more growth than others. And typically, if you go into countries or regions like France, we're growing, but it is more modest. You know, we absolutely lead the industry there in FMCG with our businesses. So we have a very significant market share. The economy is difficult, but we are growing, but it's more modest. When you come out into Eastern Europe, I mean, our growth there is just absolutely, year on year, it's been absolutely tremendous. And we see that continuing as the big pan-European customers just want that consistent offering in these new markets. So particularly sort of Central and Eastern Europe, where we've grown through the SE acquisition, we've really seen very good continued growth there. In terms of Spain, you're right. The business we bought is a local business. It's very well invested, but its customer base reflects its sort of independent status. So it is a lot of local customers. So there's very little overlap in our customers, and I think that's a real opportunity for us. We have, quite strong demand from our existing customers to support them in Spain. They're obviously, keen to get that the Dear Smith service and products. So we're pleased it's got a lot of free capacity. And then Adrian, M&A?
Yeah, and M&A, it's as we described on the last call, that we've got a lot of opportunities we're looking at. We continue to do that. These take a while to close, particularly where they're private businesses, and you have to go through, a series of iterations with them. We brought in a professional head of M&A. We hardly ever see him. I mean, he is spending all of his time in dialogues at the moment. So there's a lot ongoing, but they take a while to for both parties to agree on a valuation that makes sense. I mean, we have extremely tight return criteria, and you know, clearly when you're buying a private business, they have a view on value in their own minds, and quite often the starting point is a big gap. So it takes a lot of work. There are a lot of discussions going on. You know, we're very clear strategically where we're looking to grow, why it's important. We consider always the alternative investment case of greenfield, and we look at it, that in a number of opportunities, especially where we have gaps in our portfolio. And if we can acquire a business with the right assets, the right way of operating and feel to it, then we're going to push ahead on those. But there's a lot happening at the moment.
I think we're quite pleased with the pipeline that's in front of us. As Aidan said, we've got to bring them in, but we're quite pleased with that.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Justin Jordan from Jefferies. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I've got three questions, if I can. Firstly, can we just turn to FX? And I'm assuming your guidance of 1.6 million EBITDA impact of every 1 cent euro movement still applies. Secondly, can we talk a little bit about M&A opportunities in more color? Because particularly Eastern Europe, which I know you mentioned as being a rapid growth area, there's assets like Durapac coming to market later this year. One of your competitors yesterday was talking about intense competition from private equity for attractive assets, and I'm just wondering whether you're seeing that. And finally, I just want to return to something regarding continued rationalization and portfolio M&A. Post the foam disposal that you did, are there any other imminent opportunities to rationalize the portfolio? I'm thinking potentially some of the smaller French mills. Are they really core to your business? Thank you.
Do you want to take the FX and then we can pick up the others?
Yeah, in terms of FX, I would use at this stage, we'll revisit it at the half year, the exact guidance you've got. So clearly, you've got the position as you described on the euro impact, and it's fairly obvious where the euro is today against sterling, and then to consider the split of currencies that you were given at the year end. So yeah, Justin, I would use that at the moment. I mean, clearly FX has an impact on our sterling reported numbers, and I think we've given a very good way of getting pretty close to what the impact will be. In terms of what were the other questions?
If I do that first bit and come on to this first. So just on the M&A bit, you talk about Eastern Europe. We're finding very strong growth there for us. You've got a market that's growing overall as well. So it's a sort of market that can take new capacity. So if we look at our position at the moment, we have spent a considerable amount of our CapEx in increasing the capacity. We virtually built a new plant in Western Poland over the last 2 years, and you'll see further moves there. So it's not just about M&A. When you've got a good growth market and a requirement from our customers to have, you know, very high quality facilities, I'll say some of our, you know, some of our most modern and most productive facilities are in Eastern Europe. I think we've got probably the strongest footprint of ourselves, which means in the industry in Eastern Europe. You asked about PE. We don't actually see PE being around these assets because they don't have the synergies, and they haven't got the customer. And I think there are a few PEs who come into the industry, and I wouldn't say it's always been a sparkling success for them. So generally, we don't see a lot of PE interest. Sure. So Eastern Europe, yes, there are assets there. There's also a new build. There's not a lot of PE. You've mentioned Durapac. I mean, it is an asset that's been I think they looked to sell it a while ago, mm-hmm. and then it was withdrawn, and we hear different things. You know, we'll look at everything that's coming up, but we have a number of alternatives in that region, and I say our pipeline was reasonable there. Definitely.
Yeah, we have, as you said, Miles. I mean, the default option is we look at greenfield, we look at expanding capacity, we look at assets that are available for sale. I haven't come across on the fibre side PE at all.
Right.
You know, obviously, you see them when it's shiny plastic assets like SIG, but we've not seen anything on, or aseptic packaging assets, but nothing on the fibre base.
Right.
And it would be hard to imagine that. In terms of the disposals, we have, as we said before, I mean, we continually look through the portfolio. We're going through the strat plan at the moment. In terms of small French mills, whether we would dispose of any, yeah, the answer is we would. We've made no secret that we're looking at our paper assets in totality. But again, it's a question of whether we would get sufficient value from selling them versus the cash we generate from keeping them. So it's a very economic calculation. And, you know, for the reason that we described in the previous answer about why we're not seeing, you're not seeing a lot of demand for paper-making assets, particularly in Europe. So it's something we continue to look at. We disposed of the Nordic Phones business. It didn't sit within the portfolio, i.e. it wasn't going to attract enough capital from us in our resource allocation to continue to invest and grow in it, and therefore we exited it with a good valuation. And that's broadly how we will look at things going forward. So if there's a part of the business or a specific area that doesn't fit, it's not going to be able to attract capital from us in our allocation process, we will consider disposing of it.
Okay.
Great. Thank you, Adrian.
Okay.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Fabio Lopez from Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking the questions. Just a couple of questions. One, regarding the acquisition, what is a typical customer for Endopak, for the end market? And the second question would be, have you recently seen any changes in the margins in the collection business? Thank you.
Their existing customer is predominantly in the agricultural sector. This is what we mean by that local market. They're in there, they've got very good facilities, and they're providing corrugated boxes for agriculture, which is absolutely fine. It tends to be a little bit more seasonal because of that. So the first half of our financial year, leading up to the end of October, is a very busy time for them. It gets a little bit quieter for them in the during the winter months, and that's where we see the opportunity, because you know we are far more about the larger pan-European customers, and I think is extremely complementary. And then on the recycling, I mean, the prices have for the end product have stayed stable, and typically in the stable pricing you tend to get margin erosion, just typically. However, our margins have been maintained, and the reason is as we source different routes for fibre, we found that there's quite a very good opportunity there to obviously increase collection, but also create value. So you've seen the margins hold very well. We made an acquisition in Italy, which takes us gives us a very good position there, particularly up in the north for collection depots, etc. And again, there, as we brought our collection expertise, the margins have held up well. And as we all know, it has a fantastic return on capital.
I think, Fabio, you have to look at our collection business is much more than just a waste management business. It's providing a lot of services to retailers in terms of optimizing their waste utilization and therefore the value back, consultancy services on their whole eco-supply chain. So it's not simply collecting the waste. So the contracts they have are much deeper than just a discussion on price.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And we currently have no further questions coming through, so one final reminder for you, ladies and gentlemen. If you do wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypads now. And we do have a couple of further questions coming through. The first one is from the line of David O'Brien from Goodbody. Please go ahead with your question, sir.
Hey, guys, just one from me. Just if you give us a comment on how plastics maybe is performing in Q2, please.
Yeah. Within plastics, as you know, this is predominantly around flexible packaging. It's the bag-in-box concept. We're the world's second largest supplier into that market. We've continued to see growth there. In terms of our own business, as you know, we're restructuring quite heavily, really creating a number of new facilities, and that's all progressing according to plan. So then we're expecting a very modest improvement this year with all that change, and that's where we are. But the end markets continue to be very supportive of our offering. It's going market and end demand's going very well.
So would it be fair to say that volume growth is above and beyond that you're seeing in corrugated?
That's very interesting. Actually, it is a little bit better. But that's more of a country exposure. You know, our business there is in North America, Europe, and the Far East. So it's more to do, it is growing faster, but that's more regional. When we come into Europe, it is slightly better, but our corrugated growth is pretty good as well.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Jolyon Wellington from JP Morgan. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning. I've got two questions, please. I just wondered if you could comment on what you're seeing in the industrial segments in terms of growth and how that compares to your FMCG segments. And the second question is just on energy. I'm assuming that that's part of your pass-through in terms of the usual lag that you see. And I just wondered if energy prices were to go down, if you would see a short-term benefit on your profitability.
Yeah, the energy prices have been coming down. We'll see where they go. We use a lot of energy, so that does have a that can have a short-term improvement. But obviously, it's a long-term business, and we have long-term supply agreements in place. So we don't see the volatility coming through to us, whether up or down. So there can be a slight improvement, but you know we do contract and we do look for longer term supplies. It's a bit of benefit, but I'd say significant.
No, if you look at it year on year, absolutely. And you know you're always managing your energy exposure. And you're locking out forward at periods of time. So Mark is right. So you have a massive spike up and down within a period, you don't tend to see any impact of that. If there's a structural move over a period of time, then clearly that benefit comes through.
And then on industrial, it has been a bit quieter, industrial. There's no doubt about it. If you look at the European industrial market, principally led by the German economy, it has certainly quietened a bit. When we look at our customers there, and we understand their demand. I think there's a combination of a bit of Europe generally, but clearly this Russia and the exports to Russia and the decline in the Russian economy and the decline in investment in Russia has certainly had an effect. As you know, for us, we are hugely overweight in food and drink, so we aren't significantly affected, but it's certainly there, and we. You know, our outlook is for the end markets to remain challenging going forward. We haven't changed our view on this for probably 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really see any unfortunately, we don't see any really encouraging sustained improvement in end demand.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much.
Good. Okay,
thank we have no further questions coming through, so I'll hand the call back over to you for any concluding remarks. Thank you.
Well, thank you, everybody, for your time, and we greatly appreciate that. We're pleased with trading to date. We've continued to grow volumes, margins and returns, and we're delighted with the Andopac acquisition, from which I'm sure we will continue to grow from. Thank you very much for your time, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handsets. Thank you.